So what I'm self-deception. I mean, I have self-deception. I'm dishonest. And I want to tell you something that's really hard, but this is the absolute truth. I am 30 years sober. And Dave and I go to this conference in the desert every year called the Desert Powwow. We love it. In fact, it's the first time I heard Clancy do the talk he did at 1 o'clock. And Dave and I do one of the hospitality rooms there. And we love it. We've been on the committee for 13 years. We love it. And I was doing it this year. And the people brought up all the stuff that we needed. And they had some really great trays. They were about this big. And they were white. And I looked at those trays and I said, they have no idea we have these trays. They have no idea we have these trays. I could really use those trays. I took those trays, took them to my room, was trying to find a way to hide them in my suitcase. When it hit me, I can't steal these. This is stealing. Until I, kind of creeped and looked around if anybody's there so I can run them back into the other room. 30 years sober. I have to keep talking about stuff like that. I don't like to tell you that kind of stuff. I want you to think that, I have arrived. I am now, I've got it now. I'm 30 years sober. I have it. I'm still an alcoholic. I am still an alcoholic. And I've got the disease of alcoholism real bad. And if I don't treat it, all I get, the book tells me, all I get is a daily reprieve contingent on my spiritual condition for that day. And that's as sober as I get to get. That's it. So I better, I got sober in Texas with these old tough rednecks. And this guy said to me one day, he says, you cannot live today's recovery on yesterday's sobriety. I got to do it today. I got to do today what I did yesterday. And I do it day after day after day. Criticism. Oh, I love this one. I'm telling you this for your own good. There is no such thing as constructive criticism. One of the things that I love about the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is I share my experience, strength, and hope. When I am criticized and it hurts to the bone, it's because it was given to me to hurt to the bone. What happens is when I try to do something, I try to preference it with, if this were my situation, or if this were my problem, I believe I would take this action. I have had people criticize me, and I tell you, it didn't feel like it was for my own good. And I know the difference, because I've had people tell me the truth. And I can remember when Frank told me when I was very newly sober, he says, you can tell anybody the truth as long as you deliver it with love. And believe me, when somebody loves me and tells me the truth, no matter how much that hurts, I know it. I know the difference. We are the book says that we are people who are just too sensitive. We know. How does an alcoholic, totally out of his mind, doesn't even know what county or what state he's in, and maybe laying in a hospital bed, and some nurse look down on him and say, take it easy, I know how you feel. And that alcoholic can look up and say, you don't have a clue how I feel. We know. So watch the criticism. The only reason I criticize you is so I'll look better. That's it. It makes me feel smug. The other is gossip. I can tell you right now, there's hardly anything more fun than gossip. It does. You can get stoned on it. You know, start gossiping and talking about people. It's fun. There is nothing that is worse for the human soul and for anybody else than gossip. And the best way to find out about that is to be the gossip E instead of the gossip R. And I have been the blunt of somebody's gossip. And I can assure you, it's not fun. It has absolutely destroyed me. But I believe what goes around comes around. And today, I am ever so careful. Because if I can talk about you, I can talk about anybody. And when somebody sits down to talk with me and they start gossiping, I know that person, if they're gossiping about someone else, the next person they're going to gossip about is me. So how do I stop it? Don't participate. As fun as it is, and it is fun, don't participate in the gossip. Fear. Nothing is more self-centered than fear. This short word somehow touches every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. Sometimes we think fear ought to be classified with stealing. It causes more trouble. And that's in the big book, 67 and 68. Fear paralyzes me from doing anything. I'm watching my precious 47-year-old son, who is he's so smart and he's so talented, but he's so afraid. And he doesn't have this program. And he's so afraid to step out because of that fear. He's so afraid of failure. And that's what I was always afraid of. I didn't go to school. So I was afraid I'd fail. So instead of going, because I knew I couldn't do it, I didn't even try. Absolutely driven by 100 forms of fear. Solution. Walking through fear is exercising faith. Now, I hear in Alcoholics Anonymous and other places, but mostly in AA, because my whole life is in Alcoholics Anonymous, and especially now that I'm retired, that you can't have fear and faith at the same time. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And the way I understand the book, I don't believe the book does either. It says, the verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith need courage. And my understanding is you don't need courage unless you are afraid. So if I am afraid, one of the things that is what I'm doing right now, I was the kid. I have no training, no nothing to do what I've done. This is God's grace in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was the kid in school who would fail before I would stand up and give a book report. Too scared to stand up in front of people. Too much false ego or whatever that is. Just too much self-conscious. Just too much about me. It's all about me. I couldn't let that all go. And people said in AA, you don't say no to an AA request. And you just do it, and you do it, and every time you do it, it gets a little bit easier, and a little bit easier, and a little bit easier. One of the things that I love is Earl's here. He's going to speak for us tomorrow. He was in a plane crash. Every time today, he has to exercise courage to get on an airplane. But he gets on the airplane. He exercises faith. So what I need to learn to do is exercise faith. Just do it. Just do it. Ask God to help me to just do it. The fear prayer on 68 says, we ask God to remove our fear and direct our attention to what He would have us to be. Then it says, at once we commence to outgrow fear. We commence to outgrow fear. Well, I can tell you a lot of things in my life I'm still commencing. There's still some commencing there. The big book says on 86, after making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. And see, that's what this is. If this continues for a lifetime, this is a journey. I finally know there's no destination. Maybe the destination is 6 foot under and a little dirt on top. Maybe that's the destination. But this is a journey. It is a journey. And what I have to remember is that I am on this journey and I ask for help and I'm going to make mistakes. And one of the things I also love is I heard in rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous by some old timer, and he said, if you didn't make any mistakes today, you're not doing enough. You know, when you're doing enough, you're going to make some mistakes. That's just the way, law of relativity. It's going to happen. So what I have to do is just be willing, when I make a mistake, be willing to own that mistake, take a look at it, take some corrective action, and move on. Blame. Anybody ride the blame train? Not my fault. It's your fault. You want to stay a victim all your life? Stay blaming other people. It's an intoxicant. Watch people. Sometimes I see people, and I'm not putting down therapy because all therapy is not this way. But sometimes I see people come out of therapy, and I just think, oh, my God. And they want to assign blame to their parents and assign this and assign that. And that is not helping. That keeps us sick. As long as we blame other people for what's wrong with us, I mean, I don't have a shot to ever get better. Because if I blame you for what's wrong with me, the only way I'm going to get better is if you change. That's it. If I own responsibility for what's wrong with me, I got a shot. Because I've got the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and the 12 concepts of recovery. I've got this fabulous fellowship. And I've got a loving God. And I know how to do service. And I can have a shot at getting better. But as long as it's not my fault, I'm stuck. You ever seen somebody sit in your meeting and they're stuck? Just stuck. And you just want to help pry them open and say, you know, what is it that you're not letting go of about yourself? Well, my mother. Well, your mother's been dead 20 years. What about you today? My dad. My older brother. All of this is true. But until you start to find some solutions for yourself, we never get better. It does no good. Our defects just continue to grow. The big book says on page 62, so our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. I'm the problem. I'd love to make it your problem. I'd love to be off the hook. I really don't like humiliation to learn a little humility. I just don't like humiliation. But I'm just the kind of person It doesn't seem to get it any other way than to humiliate myself because of my character defects. The only way I know to keep the blame away is to continue on steps 4 and 5 and steps 10 and to ask God to direct my thinking and actions for this day. I just get up every morning and say the 3rd step prayer, the 7th step prayer, and the 10th step prayer. And that 10th step prayer is, God, direct my actions and thinking today, and let me be useful to someone. And if I do that, most of the time I have a really good day. Okay. This is going to be the line. I'm going to talk for 2 hours. I'm going to talk for a little over an hour and a half because I'm on the last one. And I saved the worst for last. Depression. A fearsome emotional downer. Depression plunges one into an abyss of remorse, regret, and rejection. I don't know when's the last time you've been around somebody who's depressed, or if you sponsor someone who's depressed. But a person who is in a depression cannot feel that you are trying to help them. Let me just tell you, they cannot feel it. No matter what you do, they can't feel it. And it's very, very frustrating to try to work with depression. Now, I haven't, and you know, it just seems to be my plot in life that I keep getting women who have it. You know, this whole thing, we attract what we are. And I have had to work with a lot of women who are depressed. And I know there's no point in trying to let them know how much I love them or any of that because they can't hear me. And if you have a loved one, or yourself, and you're trying, you can't feel it. You're just, it is literally what the book says. We are cut off from the sunshine of the Spirit. We're cut off, and we can't feel it. What we can do as a solution is to start taking some action. If you have someone, I'm just going to share what has been done for me and what I do for other people. You're sponsoring someone who's depressed. Take little steps. Wake up. Get a cup of coffee. Go take a shower. Go for a walk. Call somebody and say, sweetheart, I know the phone weighs 200 pounds, but pick it up anyway. And call somebody. Take these little actions because depression requires action. And you know, they'll say, well, I can't, I don't feel like, yes, you can, yes, you can. Just get up and take a shower and then call me. Patience and tolerance is our code. I have had to exercise a lot of patience with women I sponsor. But thank you, God, that someone did it for me. They exercised a lot of patience. And if you don't have the patience and you can't do it, please let that person go to somebody else. Get someone else to help them. Because it feels intolerable. I can get so angry trying to sponsor someone who's depressed. You know how that rage just wants to start building in you? Because they make me angry. You know, you try to help them, I can't do it. I mean, it's maddening. It's absolutely maddening. And I try to remember Chuck Chamberlain's words when he used to say, everybody's doing the best they can. Everybody's doing the best they can. And I know I need to learn tolerance. So I'm very intolerable. And I have learned patience and tolerance. I also believe, and this is the thing that usually once you can get a person up and get them moving and get them taking a few actions and get a little few endorphins popping, you know, moving, then you can say, get to a meeting, you know, sit down and listen. But the reality is when the writing starts, we must see that depression is the highest form of self-centeredness. Because I am in this state, because the only person I'm thinking of is me. Nobody loves me. It's self-pity with an extra wind on down. I'm not thinking of anybody but myself. That's all. And what happens is that it is so hard to be around people who are depressed. It takes every ounce I have. And sometimes I have to do it in little doses. I'm working with a woman right now who has severe depression, and it's really hard. And I just don't want anybody even here. I'm so glad Clancy did the medicine thing. I don't want anybody here asking me about medication or if I talk to anybody about medication. I stand on the 10th tradition. That is an outside issue, has nothing to do with me. I am not a doctor. I do not have any kind of malpractice insurance. I do not know. And what I do is that is not my business. That is another issue entirely. Do I sponsor women who have to be on medication? Yes. Do I take any stand with that? No. Period. So I don't go into that. I'm just telling you what works for me. And what works for me is the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 traditions, and the 12 concepts, the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and a loving God, and a lot of service on my part. Bill wrote on page 8, I was to know happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way of life that is incredibly more wonderful as it passes. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking. Twisted. Did you know we're twisted? Twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. It takes time. Patience and tolerance is our code. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is the most powerful health restorative. On my knees, up to God, asking Him to direct my actions and thinking for that day. And my life just gets better. And I thank you very much for allowing me to do this.